Now, we go to the Gospel, where, in another way, we pick up the theme of prophecy. Because, you see, to evangelize is to prophesy. Speak in the name of the Lord. Prophecy isn't always telling the future. All that work we just did with Amos, there wasn't a word of future. Well, there was, that if you don't change, there's going to be punishment. But there wasn't, I see the Messiah coming, and those kind of prophecies, which are there in the Old Testament as well. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son. That's going to happen. But this is now a dimension of New Testament prophecy, that is, proclaiming the plan of God and bringing people into it, you see. I want to give you the context because it's most interesting. We're in chapter 6, and our Lord has been down in Capernaum. And now he departed from there and came to his native place, that's Nazareth, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. Now, it was true that anybody that had thought they had something to say, if they were recognized by the leader, could get up and say it, you know. So Paul and Barnabas are in Antioch at Pisidia, and the leader of the synagogue said, if you have a word of exhortation or consolation, a logos, paraklesios, come and give it, you know. So our Lord is invited to do that. You see? He began to teach in the synagogue. We don't hear what text he was teaching on. If this is the first visit and it rhymes with Luke, it's that text in Isaiah. Anyway, and then he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are being wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph? And we went through a lot of that last time. You see? And so, he was not able to perform many mighty deeds there apart from curing a few sick, and by laying his hand on them, he was amazed at their lack of faith, lack of openness to the movement of the Father in and through him as he was teaching them. Other people were thrilled to just listen. Crowds of thousands followed him. Hometown folk. Who's this guy? You see? That's the... Now, in Mark's ordering of the... need not be the chronological ordering of the events, but can't be too far away in a way. Right after that, he went around the villages in the vicinity teaching. You see? And he summoned the 12. The reaction to that is to go somewhere else and to multiply the preaching. And so he's picked, and it's very interesting, you see. He called tus dodica, the 12. Already they have a name. Okay? And began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. If you're going to preach in some circumstances, if you don't have authority over unclean spirits, nothing's going to happen. People will chat with one another, their minds will be distracted or blank, or they'll be thinking about the shopping they're going to do after Mass, or they're mad at what you're saying. You get that too a lot. Occupational hazard. So who's this guy? You know? So here, unclean spirits. There has to be some way of binding the spirits. I think I've told you this story before, but it's illustrative. Father Mike Scanlon was invited to go preach at a big Pentecostal church tent meeting down in the south. And so first he asked the man putting on this, those revival things go on a long time at night. So finally, it was Mike's turn to preach. He said, well, how long do you want me to preach? And he said, well, I know you Catholics are not used to long sermons. So 1 hour will do. So then Mike said to him, sometimes there's disturbance, you know. He said, I know. The demons stir up some people, and you know, and they come charging right at you at the, up here at the stage. But I've got some football players down there. So if they start running up here, they just tackle them. So, still happens. The demons don't like the truth to be preached in any way at all. So they distract people, they do. But God has his own way of attracting attention. Remember that text I've quoted so much from Aquinas. The preached word, when it's suffused by the Holy Spirit, scatters the tangled mass of sins and demons. They can't stand it, they get out. And sin is healed. Oh, the examples of sin being healed, people turning from sin, is just so beautiful. It's the power of the Lord in his word. That's why when the priest has to preach, you see, he's got to make sure he's preaching the word and not something entertaining or interesting or the word. There's nothing more beautiful, nothing more gripping, nothing more life-giving than the word. God loves you. He died for you. Come and be healed by him. Anyway, he sent them on their way with authority over unclean spirits. They're not going to see, like the man said, rather than have somebody hired to tackle them, he just says, they're not going to talk. They're not going to upset. Okay. He said, now take nothing for the journey but a walking stick. No food, no sack, no money in their belts. Just go, and my Father will take care of you. Some people still do that. And some young Franciscans do that. And my Father does take care of them. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. And now these are their instructions. Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave from there. Don't be looking around for who's the best cook, you know. I think I'll stay with Mrs. Jones. Her hamburgers are great, you know. And wherever you wind up, stay there. Forget about that. Now you got a place to sleep, place to eat. You're happy. Get about your business. Preaching. This happens a lot when a priest goes to preach a mission in a parish, right? If he's really preaching a mission, okay. Now, whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet. You don't even want the dust to stick to you as a witness against them. So they went off and preached repentance. Doesn't say that the Lord told them to do that, right? But that's the message. Now, what is repentance, son? Does it mean feeling lousy about yourself? Oh, my God. No. It means turning to God. And, see, acknowledging that you've sinned. Now, if you do that, in the presence of God, because the Holy Spirit's moving you. The Holy Spirit doesn't give up on us when we're sinners. He keeps working with us. You see? Oh, where would he be if he didn't? And so, so you're sorry for your sins. You see? And then you resolve not to do them again. That's repentance, you see? Now, as you all know, the Greek word is metanoia, which means a change of mind. Not just a change of, I'll think differently about sin. Change of your whole interior. The Hebrew word is shuv, come back. Like the prodigal son, I'm going to go back to my father. I'm going to live with him. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to rejoice in his presence. I'm so glad to be back with my father. That's shuv. And so, they're preaching repentance, you see. Now, because they're preaching repentance, they drove out many demons. Demons can't stand the truth. And they go. Sometimes without making a fuss, they just get out. Sometimes they think if they make a fuss, people will get scared and not want the preacher back, I guess. That's up to the control of the Lord. They can't do a thing unless he lets them. But in our poor civilization, we don't even think there are demons. I mean, just hang around with any fervent priest, preacher, and you'll get free of that illusion pretty fast. Or just look at the hatred in some people's eyes. I mean, we got to free them. That's why we're here. That's why we're born and baptized and still on the globe. The grip of that is awful. And the more you're in it, the more despaired you are of ever getting out of it, the angrier you get. And so, they drove out many demons, and that's not all. And they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. That's the gospel. It isn't, you know, a class. Classes are good, but preaching is something else. You see, as the Pope said in Verbum Domini, I happen to have it here. I never thought of quoting it till this minute, but I'm glad it's here. He talks about the sacramentality of the word can thus be understood by analogy with the real presence of Christ. My goodness, in the Eucharist, under the appearance of the consecrated bread and wine, by approaching the altar and partaking in the Eucharistic banquet, we truly share in the body and blood of Christ. Now listen, the proclamation of God's word at the celebration entails an acknowledgement that Christ himself is present and that he speaks to us and that he wishes to be heard. Did you ever hear that before? That there's a presence of Christ in the proclaimed and preached word in every liturgy. And it's analogous to the presence in the sacred speeches. And then he quotes St. Jerome, who's following an origin. If you go to communion, you're very devout, and you receive the host in your hand, which was the old practice, and a crumb drops, you're all upset. But when the word is read and preached, crumbs, the whole thing drops. And you don't pay any, you're not sorry. And you've missed the word of God. You've only got half of what the Lord wanted you to come there for, which is quite interesting, you see. And they anointed them with oil, many who were sick, and healed them. When the Lord's around, things happen. Demons get chased out, sometimes making a lot of noise, sometimes they just go. And nobody knows, except maybe the person, something different, I'm free now in a way I wasn't before. You know, the demon left. Or people are healed. Many preachers have this experience, that when they're preaching, people are healed. You know, it disperses a scattered mass of sins and demons. Sometimes somebody's there with hatred in their heart. The word touches them, they give up the hatred, and they're over their neurosis. Sometimes they're just there, healed of deafness, is one of the Lord's audiovisual aids. Because he's saying, see what I did for those ears? I can do that for your heart. Give me half a chance, and my word will dwell in you, and you will be happy like you've never been before. Amen.